You may not know the name of Jerry Silberman, a kid from Milwaukee, but you know many of the characters he played on screen. His face is the face of Leo Bloom. His are the sardonic expressions of Willy Wonka and the frustrated looks of young Frankenstein. Silberman changed his name to Gene Wilder, and after publishing his autobiography, he spoke to our special correspondent named Susan Stamberg.
Gene Wilder has been acting since he was 13. He says his best acting lesson came from Charlie Chaplin. What you learned, Mr. Wilder, watching Chaplin was, if the thing that you are doing is really funny, you don't need to act funny while you're doing it. What does that mean?
Well, there was a film called The Circus. A father was carrying this little baby, maybe 2 years old, who held a big sausage with a bun. And when the father would turn around, Charlie would lean over and take a big bite. And then the father would turn around quickly, and Charlie would just smile and pretend that he wasn't chewing anything. And the father would turn around, and Charlie would take another bite. And Charlie wasn't trying to do anything the way a comedian might, to milk it. And I realized it was funnier because he was doing it so realistically.
In other words, playing funny seriously.
Yes.
That's a lesson you clearly did learn, and you enact in all your work. Here's an example. Young Frankenstein, in which you play the title role.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
I have one question, Dr. Frankenstein.
That's Frankenstein.
Say it again.
Frankenstein.
Right. And it was Mel Brooks who directed Young Frankenstein, and the two of you wrote it together.
Yeah.
You had some disagreements, especially when you suggested that when your Frankenstein tells the various scientists that he's brought a monster to life, the two of you, you and the monster, demonstrated wearing top hat and tails. Now, what possible problem could Mel Brooks have with that idea?
With top hat and tails,
yeah.
Nothing. But to do putting on the Ritz and do a dance, sing and dance, he thought it was frivolous when he read it. That was the only thing that we ever disagreed on, really, since I've known him. That one thing. And he said, there's no foundation for that. You can't just suddenly come in with Irving Berlin and putting on the Ritz. And I argued till I was red and then blue in the face. And after 20, 25 minutes, he said, okay, it's in. I said, what did you put me through this for? He said, because I wanted to see if you'd fight for it. And if you fought for it, I knew it was right. And if you didn't fight for it, then I knew it was wrong.
Ladies and gentlemen, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town. Hit it!
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
You're still laughing at that after all these years.
I haven't heard it for a long time.
Gene Wilder, you and Mel Brooks made us laugh a lot at the movies. The very first collaboration you did was The Producer. Also, there was Blazing Saddles, and here's a clip from that, you making a very big impression on Cleavon Little.
I used to be called the Waco Kid.
The Waco Kid. He had the fastest hands in the West.
In the world.
I must have killed more men than Cecil B. DeMille.
What the two of you did, you and Mel Brooks, was to sort of take on a classic movie form. In the case of Blazing Saddles, it was the Western, and then just twist it beyond all recognition. Was that the idea?
Well, that's what real satire is. You take something that is a true thing, and then you exaggerate it in a beautiful artistic form, and then it becomes satire.
Hmm. Gene Wilder, are you a naturally funny guy?
No. Not at all.
So you don't make a lot of wisecracks in diners and things over English muffin at breakfast?
No, I'm not very funny in real life. I used to want to be a comedian when I was 13, 14, 15, until I saw Death of a Salesman with Lee J. Cobb and Mildred Dunnick. And it was so real that I thought it was actually happening in front of me, not as a stage play, but that those people were actually going through what they were doing. And that's when I decided... I said, I don't want to be a comedian. I want to be an actor, maybe a comic actor, but a real actor.
Your autobiography is full of stories, much like the ones that you have told us, but also insights into your personal life. And you write about Gilda Radner, who was your third wife. She died much too early. She was 43, and she died in 1989. All the world loved her, I think, and you certainly did too. But you write that as a person, and this was even before she got sick, that she was exhausting, that she needed so much attention, she needed so much admiration. And I wonder what your thinking was when you chose to write about that, Mr. Wilder.
To tell the truth. And I thought, if I'm going to talk about her in my book, it's not an autobiography. It's selected memories. And one of those was about how I met her, why we got married, how we got married, how we fell in love, and then the illness. But what was the question?
Well, I was asking why you felt you needed to write about the underside of the tapestry.
Well, then why write a book if I'm not going to go in as deeply as I can? Mm. It was for my sake, too, you know. I wanted to explore ghosts that I had. And I wanted to tell the truth about how we loved each other, how she drove me crazy, and how I couldn't live without her. Mm-hmm. And that's a story worth telling. I mean, if I just said, oh, she made me laugh, and wasn't it wonderful, and she did Rosanna, well, you don't need me for that.
I bet you did have some wonderful laughs together, though.
We did. She made me laugh, and I guess I made her laugh, too. I guess so. But she made me laugh more than I made her laugh.
Gene Wilder. His book is called Kiss Me Like a Stranger. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.